Hey guys, what's up? Welcome back. How am I even saying this? How do I say it normally? Hey guys, what's up? It's me, your host, Dangerous ASMR, and we're back for another Drunken Dangerous. You look, I fucking did it again. I did it again, motherfuckers. I knew it. I knew you'd be back. You can't stay away, can you, baby? And that's right. You really are terrified of what 2020 has become. So is everyone. We're fucking... Well... Some of us are like celebrating because you people are just fucking anarchists, but everyone else is so afraid, maybe. But you know, you're always safe with me in my warm, high, so high embrace, so high I forgot right from left a minute ago, embrace. And we're here to whisk you away from all the problems of the real world, which can sometimes be a festering dung heap that's on fire. By the way, that shirt is coming. I did commission it. And so we're going to read more of these wonderful Grimm's fairy tales. And by wonderful, I mean hopefully not as insanely violent as last time. I've said that I feel like every episode now. So let's continue on. Shall we? And today's story, the first story of the day, is Fitcher's Bird. Fitcher's Bird. Once upon a time, there was a sorcerer who was a thief, and he used to go begging from house to house in the guise of a beggar. I mean, really, if you go begging from house to house, you don't have to be dressed up like a beggar. You are a beggar. Like, I'm just pretending to be a loser with no friends. You are your disguise. But okay, he's pretending to be a beggar. I'm not begging. I'm just acting. Now give me money. One time, a maiden opened the door and gave him a piece of bread. He only had to touch her to force her to jump into his basket. This got very rapey. Then he carried her off to his house, where everything was splendid inside, and he gave her whatever she desired. It's magic wand, am I right? Sometime later, he said to her, "I have some business to attend to outside the house. And so I must take a trip." So you mean like the woman you abducted, right? Like you gave her everything she desired but her freedom. I mean, am I right? Like, it just seems like, you know, seems kind of shitty. Just a thought. I must take a trip. Here is an egg. Take good care of it and carry it with you wherever you go. What is this, middle school? I feel like I had this project. I'm also giving you a key, and if you value your life, don't go into the room that opens it. Oh god, okay, fucking Beauty and the Beast, bitch. What is he like, fucking Bluebeard? Is she gonna open it and there's all the fucking dead women? Is this all the same fucking parable? And also, why does she have an egg? Like, what's with the egg thing? Is this like a bag of flour next? He's gonna have one of those realistic crying babies. Like, I'm gonna check to see if you shook it in the middle of the night. I have one of those. I did not shake that motherfucker, but I got a score of neglect once because I let it cry for more than like 10 minutes at 3 in the morning at one point. And I'm like, how is that neglect? I literally didn't wake up. Like, neglectful bitch. And that's when I'm like, kids, why would I want the fuckers? I'm just picturing like 10 minutes. You're like, you let your baby cry for 10 minutes. I was asleep. Into jail with you, neglectful bitch. Yes, but egg. I can do eggs. I can do eggs scrambled. I can do eggs fried. I mean, he says take good care of it and carry it with you wherever you go. If you eat it, it's within you, right? I mean, I've taken real good care of it in my stomach. It's real safe in there. Okay, if you value your life, don't go into the room that it opens. If he could just touch her and force her into his basket, then couldn't he just touch her again and make her not do those things? Is this like a God, do you know, fucking tree of knowledge situation where God could make it so they didn't touch it, but he was just like, don't you do it, I whoopity whoop. Fuck you and your fucking shit test. God and Mr. Egg Wizard, what the fuck ever. Fuck you. You fucking stole this chick. She should leave while she's gone. If she can, you magical fucking douchebag. And think about this. You can force people to go with you, but you can't magically make yourself into a desirable enough man that a woman would actually willingly want to fuck you without having been magicked into your fucking basket, you loser piece of shit. Whew, 2020, man. Let me tell you. That's what this guy has coming to him. You see. You fucking see. Don't you lock me out of your goddamn room. I will see all those corpses, and I'll be like, I knew it. Fuck, I'm gonna die. But man, I'd feel so triumphant in those last few seconds before I got my head cut. Nevertheless, when he was gone, she went and opened up this room. And as she entered it, she saw a large basin in the middle with dead and butchered people lying in it. Is it ever like a room and it's just like a Scrooge McDuck pile of gold coins and like no dead bodies? Is it ever like a good room? Like, oh, you found the puppy room. It was going to be a surprise for your birthday. No, it's never that. It's dead bodies every single time. I bet if it was 2019, it wouldn't have been dead bodies. Wouldn't have been puppies, but it wouldn't have been fucking dead bodies. But nope, 2020, it's a dead body. Fucking... Every roll of the dice, dead body. There's no such thing as a nat 20 in 2020, ironically enough. 2020 is the world rolling a horrible fucking shit-ass nat 20 against all of us stupid fuckers twice. Coronavirus? Fucking protests and riots. 2020. This is just total made-up bullshit. I'm padding my runtime because... I'm really high, and of course my brain would go here. See, don't stay in this place. If you do, you become a conspiracy theorist, and God help us all. You end up like me. Don't want that. Okay, dead people. She was so tremendously horrified that the egg she was carried plopped into the basin. To be sure, she quickly took it out and wiped the blood off, but the blood reappeared instantly. She wiped and scraped, but she couldn't get rid of the stain. And then she got Clorox. When the man returned from his journey, she couldn't get another egg. What egg was it? What kind of egg? Was it a Fabergé egg? Was it priceless? It was an egg with a apparently it's just an egg that stains incredibly easily. Do him a favor and get him one that doesn't. Problem solved. You want that damn murder egg. When the man returned from his journey, he demanded the key and the egg. He looked at both of them, and he realized right away that she'd been in the bloody chamber. Isn't it possible that she bled on the egg? I mean, I'm assuming the blood is like some magical property, or is it a magical egg? What if she had her period very violently one time? She's supposed to carry the egg with her everywhere, right? So one day, she's like not remembering it's her period, and she pulls her pants down, and then just blood just spooches out everywhere. I know this is bad anatomy, but just go with me, okay? This is the fairy tale. So just out on the egg, and she's like, oh no, my husband will know that my period blood got on this egg. And then he's like, you were in my secret death room. And she's like, what? I mean, at that point, would you be so embarrassed that you'd just be like, you know what, honey, I was. I totally saw those dead bodies. He would be like, just go with it. But yeah, it's definitely not. Anyway, disgusting. Period blood. I apologize for... the train of thought that I have tonight. I would say it was derailed, but I don't think it was railed. I'm not going to make a joke about that. My train was not railed to begin with. And if your train has no railing, it can't be derailed. So you knew this is pandemonium when you got into it. It's sheer 2020 style. Fairy tale readings. Okay. Didn't you pay attention to my instructions, he said angrily. Now you'll go back into the bloody chamber against your will. Upon saying this, he grabbed her, led her to the chamber, chopped her into pieces, that was very fast, and tossed her into the basin with the others. Wow. She didn't last as long as I thought she would. I thought she would have lasted longer. After some time passed, the man went begging again and captured the second daughter. He took her from the house, and the same thing happened to her. She opened the forbidden door, let the egg fall into the blood, and was chopped to pieces and thrown into the basin. Now the sorcerer wanted to have the third daughter as well. So he captured her and put her into his basket. That's a big fucking basket, or those are little kids, and this guy's fucked in the head. After he returned home, he gave her the key and the egg before he set out on his journey. However, the third daughter was smart and cunning. She put the egg into a cupboard and then went... That's really smart and cunning. Legitimately, that's smart and cunning. Don't drop the egg on the floor, you stupid... You guys, we are the smartest people in the history of the world. I would have thought to put that on my... Not even in a cabinet. Cabinets can be hard, but it's somewhere soft. Like the middle of your bed. Look, I'm even smarter and cunninger. Fucking game. Set. Match. Bitch. And then she went into the secret chamber. When she found her sisters in the bloody basin, she looked all over the place for their missing parts and put them all together. Head, body, arms, and legs. So the two sisters came back to life. He didn't quite murder them then, did he? Why don't they just put all the bloody people back together and they'll all come back to life? They didn't murder them. They're just, did they just not? I don't understand the logic of fairy tales at all. Apparently, people are like puzzle pieces. Cut them up, put them back together, and they come back to life. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Ah. Then their sister led them out of the chamber and hid them. When the man came home and didn't find any bloodstains on the egg, he asked the third sister to become his bride. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. Damn, low standards. Like, oh shit, you didn't betray me for one day? Marriage. Oh no, that's like, that's too legit though, right? Like, that hurts too much. Too fucking true. I can't handle it. Let me see. I lose my place so fucking fast. Okay. She said yes, but she told him that before she'd marry him, he had to fill his basket full of gold and carry it to her parents on his back. Wow. I mean, if I hadn't known he just murdered your sisters, like, that would have seemed pretty demanding, I'll be honest. In the meantime, she would make preparations for the wedding. Instead, she snuck her sisters into the basket, covered them with the gold, and told them they were to get help from home. "Now carry this basket to my parents," she said to the man. "But don't dare to stop and rest along the way. I can see everything from my window." Damn, they live close. Like, that's close. So the man lifted the basket onto his back and went on his way. It was, however, so heavy that he was almost crushed to death by the weight. How heavy are these sisters? Jesus! I'm picturing each sister as like 400 pounds. And this basket is like the size of an outdoor swimming pool. Your sister's so fat. You're so fat. Two of your sisters in one basket can nearly crush a wizard. Meth logic. How fat is she? I don't know. Would two of her crush a wizard? Oh, shit. Yeah, that's fat. Wizard crushing meth. It's just so stupid. Okay. He was almost crushed to death by the weight. I guess they quarantined a little long and it just kind of got out of hand. Too many Oreos, not enough exercise. At one point, he wanted to rest, but one of the sisters immediately cried out from the basket, "I see from my window that you're resting. Gotta move on at once." His bride, who was crying out. Okay. He's a very feeble man, almost crushed to death by just two average-sized women, and he can't tell when A voice is coming from literally behind him or far away in the distance. Poor bastard. He thought that it was his bride who was crying out, and so he immediately continued walking. Whenever he stopped along the way, he heard a voice and had to keep moving. Back at his place...
Okay.
The bride took a skull, decorated it with jewels, and set it on the window case. I feel like I would have just run away. Then she invited the sorcerer's friends to the wedding, and after that was done, she dipped herself into a barrel of honey. None of this is going the way I thought it was going to. Cut open a bed and rolled around in feathers so that it was impossible to recognize her because she looked so strange. And this is how she set out on her way. Soon she met some of her wedding guests who asked, oh look, they also rhyme. Where are you coming from? Oh, Fitcher's bird. From Fitze Fitcher's house? Haven't you heard? And what may be the young bride... what may the young bride be doing there? She swept the whole house from top to bottom. Just now she's looking straight out of the window. Soon thereafter she met the bridegroom who was on his return home. Where are you coming from? Okay, really? She couldn't have just taken like a side road. She'd have rolled herself in honey and feathers. Is this like a Disney Channel version? This is the shit they would pull off. Was Hannah Montana doing this shit? Legitimately. They think a human that rolled themselves in feathers is a bird. I feel like you could have said anything and this man would have believed it and you could have just left at any time. But we'll continue. I'm sure this is, it's going to make sense soon.
Where are you coming from, oh Fitcher's bird?
From Fitze Fitcher's house, haven't you heard?
And what may the young bride be doing there?
She swept the whole house from top to bottom. Just now she's looking straight out the window. The bridegroom looked and saw the decorated skull. He thought it was his bride and waved to her because he's clearly mentally impaired, as we discussed previously. This poor, mentally challenged man. However, once he and his guests were all gathered inside the house, the helpers who were sent by the sisters finally arrived. These people locked all the doors of the house, and then they set fire to it. And since nobody could get out, they were all burned to death. Hey, look, you guys, 2020 has invited us to a wedding. What the fuck? They burned that poor mentally impaired man. And they know that's the final death. They could have chopped him up, but they're like, someone might reassemble him. Burn him. Even the people that had nothing to do with it. Who had nothing to do with it. She burned them all to death. Spiteful motherfucker. Hannah Montana, you did it again. All right, we're going to take a little intermission from that for you to gather your fucking mortal souls after that fucking ending. Jesus Christ. It's like that movie We Need to Talk About Kevin. That's some fucking Kevin shit right there. We could also be talking about Kevin from Home Alone. He's another kind of Kevin you got to fucking watch out for. Early beginnings of the Saw Killer. It's true. That story was so fucking dark, Jesus. I gotta say, even after reading all these fairy tales, I am still taken aback by burning everyone to death, especially when these people didn't have anything to do with it. I mean, I don't even think I burned that guy to death. I mean, technically, he didn't even kill her sisters, right? I mean, he was rapey-rapey, though, so I guess he had it coming. Still, a lot of these Grimm's fairy tales are just like, you don't have to have it coming. They'll just fuck you over. It's like real life. It's very unsatisfying. Give me one of those Hollywood stories with the happy endings. Or even one of those fucking Lifetime movies. Like, I'm trying really hard to find, what is it, that really stupid, like, internet porn addiction one that they did, like, that's been really lampooned. I've seen, like, a couple videos on YouTube about it, and I really want to watch it, but, like, you can't buy it anywhere, and it fucking sucks. It's called, like, it's something about, like, the guy gets addicted to, like, internet porn, and, like, everyone's making fun of him at his school for looking at porn. But the porn he's looking at is just, like, women in bikinis, and it's, like, the most, just the funniest shit, and, like, I really want to watch it, because I think I would laugh so fucking hard. Yeah, total aside, I just really, really need to watch that, like, to an insane degree. Oh, shit, where'd I go? Oh, no, I messed with it. Oh, okay, well, this one's pretty fucking long, shit. Damn, okay, this is gonna be the last story, because it's long as fuck. Good God. Okay, the next and last story, because it is long as ever-loving fuck, is the juniper tree. And it sounds so fucking boring. I mean, shoot me, the juniper tree? Can it start with the burning to death? Do we have to wait the whole time to get there? Come on, give me something exciting. Juniper tree. Hey, I guess this one will be good to fucking sleep to. Jesus, grim. Fucking suck. Gave me Thumbling, and now I get a tree. We can't go from Lord of Darkness Thumbling to the juniper fucking tree. Whatever, I guess we are, and it's long, too. So if it sucks, we're stuck here, both of us, because I'm not reading it. I am stubborn. Let's fucking go. Juniper tree. We're going to make this exciting. Fuck you, Grim. You're not going to win. All this took place a long time ago. Most likely some 2,000 years ago. Or not, I mean, who fucking cares? This story apparently doesn't. There was a rich man who had a beautiful and pious wife. Ooh, pious, that's what I look for in a partner. And they loved each other very much. Though they didn't have any children, they longed to have some. They should have some eggs. Same thing, right? Day and night, the wife prayed for a child, but still none came and everything remained the same. Now, in front of the house, there was a yard, and in the yard stood a juniper tree. Ooh, a tree. One day, during winter, the wife was under the tree peeling an apple. And as she was peeling it, she cut her finger, and her blood dripped onto the snow. That's why she needs to be like me and never buy fresh produce. Just eat everything out of a bag. They come with easy open handles. Hooray! Fucking, that's what Frida Lay's told me. They show her in the snow peeling an apple and she cuts her finger and you hear like a big with an X over it, and then it's like, should have had some Frida Lay's products. They show everybody opening their chips like with safe fingers, and they're just like smiling like apple, and they show the woman crying and bleeding. Or potato chips. I'm just saying. Fucking suck at apples. Although, to be fair, like, apples are delicious as long as they're not Red Delicious, which is ironic, but honestly, Red Delicious, get out of here with that mealy garbage apple. Disgusting. It's probably a Red Delicious. She has no taste. She's pious, so she eats the shittiest apples. She probably murders herself. She's like, I'll eat this shitty apple so some school child doesn't have to. Bet she does. She's super pious. Oh! Said the wife, and she heaved a great sigh. Well, she looked at the blood before her, she became quite sad. If only I had a child as red as blood and white as snow. Oh, it's Snow White, but it's the original title, The Juniper Tree, which I understand why Disney changed the fucking title. The Juniper Tree makes me want to hang myself in the juniper tree, whereas Snow White is a classic fairy tale. So, Snow White's fucking mom was weird as shit. When I cut my finger, I don't wish for a child with traits of my blood mixed with whatever surrounding there is, but... Upon saying that, her mood changed, and she became very cheerful. For she felt something might come of it. Oh, she was stupid. That's why she's suddenly happy. She's dumb as a brick. Sure, honey, something will come of it. Sure, you bled. Your finger bled on the snow. You wished out loud for a kid that looked like blood and snow. And then you're like, oh boy, I'm going to have a kid now. And strangely enough, it did work. So maybe she's on to something. I don't know. I'm not willing to extend that much faith. Let's see. Then she went home. Hopefully to a home. After a month, the snow vanished. After 2 months, everything turned green. After 3 months, the flowers sprouted from the ground. After 4 months, all the trees in the woods grew more solid, and the green branches became intertwined. After 5 months, she grew wings and flew away. Just fucking countdown. The birds began to sing, and their song resounded throughout the forest as the blossoms fell from the trees. Soon the 5th month passed, and when the wife stood under the juniper tree, it smelled so sweetly that her heart leapt for joy. Because she's a simple gal. Simple tastes. Simple gal. She just needs a tree. That's it. I fucking wish. I just needed a stupid tree to make me happy. Yep. Yeah. We can't all be satisfied huffing trees. Some of us have to huff. I'm joking. That was a joke. Okay. Indeed, she was so overcome by joy that she fell down on her knees. Okay. Simple, simple gal. When the 6th month had passed, the fruit was large and firm, and she was quite still. In the 7th month, she picked the juniper berries and ate them so avidly that she became sad and sick. After the 8th month passed, she called her husband to her and wept. If I die, she said, bury me under the juniper tree. After that, she was quite content and relieved until the 9th month had passed. Then she had a child as white as snow and red as blood. When she saw the baby, she was so delighted that she died. That's not a thing. Fairy tale medical personnel, that is not a fucking thing. This feels like, think about it. This is a fucking pact with the devil, right? She cut her finger, it's a blood pact. The blood was warm, leaked through the snow, hit the ground, which went all the way down to hell, where Satan was like, oh yes, you want a child, is that it? And so in order to get her child, she would have to sacrifice her own life. It was like a monkey's paw deal. So yeah, that's clearly what happened. Snow White was a result of a pact with the devil that this stupid woman unknowingly made. I'm sure that's what it is. What it should be. Pious. Her husband buried her under the juniper tree, and he began weeping a great deal. What a little pussy. After some time, he felt much better, but he still wept every now and then. Every time you grieve, it's what it's pretty much like. Eventually, he stopped, and after more time passed, he took another wife. With his second wife, he had a daughter. While the child from the first wife was a little boy, who was as red as blood and as white as snow. Whenever the woman looked at her daughter, she felt great love for her, but whenever she looked at the little boy, her heart was cut to the quick. She couldn't forget that he would always stand in her way and prevent her daughter from inheriting everything. Wait, was this about a boy? I thought Snow White was a girl. I guess the original Snow White was a boy? Cool. Interesting. Okay, let's continue. She couldn't forget that he would always stand in her way and prevent her daughter from inheriting everything, which was what that woman had in mind. Gradually, the devil took hold of her and influenced her feelings toward the boy, until she became quite cruel toward him. She pushed him from one place to the next, slapped him here and cuffed him there. Damn, she beaten the shit out of this kid. So that the poor child lived in constant fear. I'm picturing him, it's like living with Mike Tyson. Just boxing this poor little kid around the face. Damn, lady. Shit. When he came home from school, he found no peace at all. Oh, that's so fucking awful. Damn. His dad's shitty, right? Like, dude, stand up for your kid. One day, the woman went up to her room, and her little daughter followed her and said, Mother, give me an apple. Yes, my child, said the woman, and she gave her a beautiful apple from the chest that had a large heavy lid with a big sharp iron lock. Mother, said the little daughter, shouldn't brother get one too? The woman was irritated by that remark, but she said, yes, as soon as he comes home from school. And when she looked out of the window and saw him coming, the devil took possession of her, and she snatched the apple away from her daughter. You shan't have one before your brother, she said, and threw the apple into the chest and shut it. Could you imagine if apples were that special? Could you imagine you're like, hey, Mom, can I have an apple? Sure. No, you shan't have one before your brother. Damn, Frito-Lays was right. Apples are turning people crazy. Can't trust anything from nature. Oh. Meanwhile, the little boy came through the door, and the devil compelled her to be friendly to him and say, would you like to have an apple, my son? She said. She gave him a fierce look. Arr! Mother, said the little boy, how ferocious you look. Yes, give me an apple. I like how ferocious you look as just a total aside. Not like, is anything wrong? Just, my, how ferocious you look. Someone coming at you with a knife. Ooh, how scary-wary. Then she felt compelled to coax him. Come over here, she said as she lifted the lid. Take an apple for yourself. And as the little boy leaned over the chest, the devil prompted her, and crash, she slammed the lid so hard that his head flew off and fell among the apples. Just reassemble him. He'll be fine. Why doesn't he leave this out? It's such a good story. His head is cut off. Why didn't they leave that in? I don't know. Oh, boy. Then she was struck by fear and thought, how am I going to get out of this? I don't know, Casey Anthony. How are you? She went up to her room and straight to her dresser, where she took out a white kerchief from a drawer. Honey. She put the boy's head back on his neck and tied the neckerchief around it, so nothing could be seen. I feel like that's not going to work. Then she set him on a chair in front of the door and put the apple in his hand. Insult to fucking injury. Sometime later, little Marlene came into the kitchen and went up to her mother, who was standing by the fire in front of a pot of hot water when she was constantly stirring. Mother, said Marlene, brother's sitting by the door and looks very pale. He's got an apple in his hand, and I asked him to give me the apple, but he didn't answer, and I became very scared. Go back to him, said the mother, because she's evil as fuck. And if he doesn't answer you, give him a box on the ear. She's gonna make her think she killed her brother. She's evil as fuck. See, she should have been burnt to death. Little Marlene returned him and said, brother, give me the apple. But he wouldn't respond. So she gave him a box on the ear and his head fell off. PTS, fucking D. Way to stop your kid being violent from life. Get a corpse. Make sure their head's cut off. And then tell your kid to box them in the ear. When their head falls off, they'll never do it again. Well, his head fell off. The little girl was so frightened that she began to cry and howl. Then she ran to her mother and said, oh, mother, I've knocked my brother's head off. And she wept and wept and couldn't be comforted. Marlene, said the mother, what have you done? You're not to open your mouth about this. We don't want anyone to know. And besides, there's nothing we can do about it now. Okay, what do you think her next suggestion is? Any thoughts? Put it in the comments section below now. You won't, but in theory you could. Okay, I'm done. The answer is, the Daily Double is, so we'll make a stew out of him. Yes, compound that PTSD with interest, please. The mother took the little boy and chopped him into pieces. Next, she put them into a pot and let them stew. But Marlene stood nearby and wept until all her tears fell into the pot. So it didn't need any salt. That's not how that works. When the father came... I hear that's Gordon Ramsay comes. When the father came home, he sat on the table and asked, "Where's my son?" The mother served a huge portion of the stewed meat, and Marlene wept and couldn't stop. "Where's my son?" the father asked again. "Oh," said the mother, "he's gone off into the country to visit his mother's great-uncle. He intends to stay there a while."
What's he going to do there? He didn't even say goodbye to me.
"Well, he wanted to go very badly and asked me if he could stay these 6 weeks. They'll take good care of him."
"Oh, that makes me sad," said the man. "It's not right. He should have said goodbye to me." Then he began to eat and said, "Marlene, what are you crying for? Your brother will come back soon." Without pausing, he said, "Oh, wife, the food tastes great. Give me some more." The more he ate, the more he wanted. Is this going to be like a cannibal zombie? Is this how different Snow White really is? Tell me the truth. Okay, I see why they changed it. "Give me some more," he said. "I'm not going to share this with you. Somehow I feel as if it were all mine." This is some sick fucking shit. Holy fuck. As he ate and ate, he threw the bones under the table. She left the bones. That's not how you make stew. She leaves giant people bones in the fucking stew? She's really not good at this killing thing. He threw the bones under the table until he was all done. He had a human's worth of meat. That man has an impressive fucking cannibalistic appetite. Meanwhile, Marlene went to her dresser and took out her best silk neckerchief from the bottom drawer, gathered all the bones from beneath the table, tied them up in her silk kerchief, and carried them outside the door. There she wept bitter tears and laid the bones beneath the juniper tree. As she put them there, she suddenly felt relieved and stopped crying. Now the juniper tree began to move. Branches separated and came together again as though they were clapping their hands in joy. At the same time, smoke came out of the tree, and in the middle of the smoke there was a flame that seemed to be humming. Then a beautiful bird flew out of the fire and began singing magnificently. He soared high in the air, and after he vanished, the juniper tree was as it was before, yet the silk kerchief was gone. Marlene was very happy and gay. It was as if her brother was still alive, and she went merrily back to her house, sat down at the table, and ate. Wait a minute. Did she eat her brother? Did she just go home and eat brother's stew? Dude, there's one thing about getting over the death of your brother that you believe you caused. She's really okay with having accidentally killed him at this point. She's actually eating her victim. That's how okay she is with it. She's convinced herself her victim's still alive so she can consume their body. Okay, soon to be serial killer, it sounds fucking like to me. Meanwhile, the bird flew away, landed on the roof of a goldsmith's house, and began to sing. "My mother, she killed me. My father, he ate me. My sister Marlene, she made sure to see my bones were gathered secretly, bound nicely in silk as neat can be, and laid beneath the juniper tree. Tweet, tweet, what a lovely bird I am." Okay, good job. The goldsmith was sitting in his workshop making a golden chain. When he heard the bird singing on his roof, he thought the song was very beautiful. Then he stood up, and as he walked across the threshold, he lost a slipper. Then he kept on going.
right into the middle of the street with only one sock and slipper on. He was also wearing his apron, and in one of his hands he held a golden chain, in the other his tongs. The sun was shining brightly on the street as he walked, and he stopped to get a look at the bird. "Bird," he said, "how beautifully you sing. Sing me that song again." "No," said the bird. "I'll never sing twice for nothing. Give me the golden chain and I'll sing it for you again." "Damn, that bird drives a hard bargain." "All right," said the goldsmith. "Here's the golden chain. Now sing the song again." The bird swooped down, grasped the golden chain in his right claw, went to the goldsmith and began singing. "My mother, she killed me. My father, he ate me. My sister Marlene, she made sure to see my blah 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 under the tree blah blah." Then the bird flew off to the shoemaker, landed on his roof, and sang the same fucking thing. I'm not singing it again. When the shoemaker heard the song, he ran to the door in his shirt sleeves and looked up at the roof, keeping his hand over his eyes to protect them from the bright sun. "Bird," he said, "how beautifully you sing." Then he called into the house, "Wife, come out here for a second. There's a bird up there. Just look how beautifully he sings about murder." Then he called his daughter and her children and the journeymen, apprentices, and maid. They all came running out onto the street and looked at the bird and saw how beautiful he was. He had bright red and green feathers, and his neck appeared to glisten like pure gold, while his eyes sparkled in his head like stars. "Bird," said the shoemaker, "now sing me that song again."
"No," said the bird, "I never sing twice for nothing. You have to give me a present."
"Wife," said the man, "go into the shop. There's a pair of red shoes on the top shelf. That's a completely useless thing for a bird, so give them to me." His wife went and fetched the shoes. "There," said the man, "now sing the song again." The bird swooped down, grasped the shoes in his left claw, flew up in the roof, and sang the same thing about how he was killed. When the bird finished the song, he flew away. He had the chain in his right claw and the shoes in his left, and he flew far away to a mill. The mill went clickety-clack. The miller had 20 men sitting in the mill, and they were hewing a stone. Their chisels went click-clack, click-clack, click-clack. And the mill kept going clickety-clack, clickety-clack, clickety-clack. Thanks for telling me. The bird swooped down and landed on a linden tree outside the mill and sang, "My mother, she killed me." Then one of the men stopped working.
"My father, he ate me."
Then two more stopped and listened.
"My sister Marlene, she made sure to see."
Then four more stopped.
"My bones were gathered secretly, bound nicely in silk as neat as can be."
Now only eight kept chiseling.
"And laid beneath."
Now only five.
"The juniper tree."
Now only one.
"Tweet, tweet, what a lovely bird am I."
Then the last one also stopped and listened to the final words.
"Bird, how beautifully you sing. Let me hear that too. Sing your song again for me."
"No,"
said the bird.
"I never sing twice for nothing. Give me the millstone and I'll sing the song again."
"Like, what if I could?" he said. But the millstone doesn't belong to me alone."
"If he sings again," said the others, "he can have it."
Then the bird swooped down and all 20 of the miller's men took some wooden beams to lift the stone. Heave ho, heave ho, heave ho. Then the bird stuck his neck through the hole, put the stone on like a collar, flew back to the tree and sang his bullshit. After the bird had finished his song, he spread his wings, and in his right claw he had the chain, in his left the shoes, and round his neck the millstone. Then he flew away to his father's house. The father, mother, and Marlene were sitting at the table in the parlor, and the father said, "Oh, how happy I am! I just feel so wonderful!" "Not me," said the mother. "I feel scared, as if a storm were about to erupt." She's seen the news, I think. Meanwhile, Marlene just sat there and kept weeping. Then the bird flew up, and when he landed on the roof, the father said, "Oh, I'm in such good spirits. Man, he's about to have the shittiest day ever. The sun's shining so brightly outside, and I feel as though I were going to see an old friend again." "Not me," said his wife. "I'm so frightened that my teeth are chattering. I feel as if fire were running through my veins." She tore open her bodice, while Marlene sat in a corner and kept weeping. She had her handkerchief in front of her eyes and wept until it was completely soaked with tears. The bird swooped down on the juniper tree where he perched on a branch and began singing,
"My mother, she killed me."
The mother stopped her ears. The mother stopped her ears, shut her eyes, and tried not to see or hear anything. but there was a roaring in her ears like a turbulent storm, and her eyes burned and flashed like lightning.
"My father, he ate me!"
"Oh, mother," said the man, "listen to that beautiful bird singing so gloriously. The sun's so warm, and it smells like cinnamon." What smells like cinnamon? Okay. "My sister Marlene made sure to see." Then Marlene laid her head on her knees and wept and wept, but the man said, "I'm going outside. I must see the bird close up."
"Oh, don't go," cried the wife. "I feel as if the whole house were shaking and about to go up in flames."
"It probably is. I read the last story." Nevertheless, the man went out and looked at the bird. "My bones were gathered, blah, 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 I'm a nice bird." After ending his song, the bird dropped the golden chain and it fell around the man's neck just right, so that it fit him perfectly. Then he went inside and said, "Look how lovely that bird is. He gave me this beautiful golden chain, and he's just beautiful as well." But the woman was petrified and fell to the floor. Her cap slipped off her head and the bird sang again, "My mother, she killed me. Oh, I wish I were 1,000 feet beneath the earth so I wouldn't have to hear this." Drama, fucking drama.
"My father, he ate me."
Then the woman fell down again as if she were dead.
"My sister Marlene, she made sure to see."
"Oh," said Marlene, "I want to go outside too and see if the bird will give me something." Then she went out.
"My bones were gathered secretly, bound nicely in silk, as neat as can be."
All at once the bird threw her the shoes. Oh, we know what's going to happen. That bitch going to die.
"And laid them beneath the juniper tree. Tweet, tweet, what a lovely bird I am."
Marlene felt cheerful and happy. She put on the new red shoes and danced and skipped back into the house. How were they just were amazingly her size? Like her exact size? The guy who gave it to him just like suddenly knew. That's okay. Okay. Fairy tale logic. Magic shoes. Got you.
"Oh," she said, "I was so sad when I went out, and now I feel so cheerful. That certainly is a splendid bird. He gave me a pair of red shoes as a gift."
"Not me," said the wife, who jumped and her hair flared up like a red hot flames.
"I feel as if the world were coming to an end. Maybe I'll feel better if I went outside."
As she went out the door, crash, the bird threw the millstone down on her head and she was crushed to death. I bet it was like the weight of those two girls, am I right? The father and Marlene heard the crash and went outside. Smoke, flames, and fire were raising from the spot. And when it was over, the little brother was standing there. Okay, he made a deal with the devil. He really was a spawn of the devil. Tell me I'm wrong. He came back with a puff of flames. I was fucking right. Fucking knew it. Child of the devil. Fucking Damien. That's what this shit is about. Snow White equals Damien. Now we know. Now we know the fucking truth. Walt Disney pushing Satanist propaganda on your kids. Fucking knew it. Okay, wait, we're still continuing. She was crushed to death. There he was in a bunch of flames. How odd. He took his father and Marlene by the hand, and all three were very happy. Then they went into the house, sat down at the table, and ate. What are they eating? It's probably the stepmom, right? He's one with the devil now. That's what I've learned from that. Oh my god, the stories were worse this week. They were more violent. Honestly, I feel like I jinx myself. Like, every time I'm like, I hope this one's not too violent. It's like, innocent people burned to death. Person crushed by millstone. People chopped up and eaten, fed to their parents. People chopped up, then put back together. Like, really? I couldn't have gotten one story that was some happy little fluffy parable without, like, and everyone died. Like, wait, what? And they don't just die. They don't just pass over and die. No, it's like a horrible death every fucking time. I think it's like they couldn't do, like, sex selling. So they were like, violence. It's kind of like American media nowadays, right? Sex and violence. That's what sells. Look at my channel. Sex and violence. Sex and violence. That's what I like. Sex and violence. And Grimm's Fairy Tales is all the violence you're fit to ever want or not want. It's still there, making you very deeply uncomfortable. Man. And yet I can't wait to see
what's coming up next week. I'm so excited, and I hope you are too. Thank you so much for bearing with me for that particularly interesting, drunk and dangerous. I had no fucking idea that the original Snow White story was basically nothing to fucking do with the actual Snow White story. It's very interesting. Were you surprised, or did you already know this? If you already know this, go ahead, sound off in the comments below. Rub it in my fucking face, I don't care. I own that ignorance. I'm just like that stupid Snow White's mom. Kid didn't even have a name. Damien, right? It was Damien. So we all know Snow White was about Damien, the devil child. So anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed that educational episode, and hopefully I will see you back here next week. All right, I love you guys. Mwah. Bye.